Hey guys, welcome to episode 195 of the JV Club with my guest, the wonderful Melissa Stevens. I wanted to catch up on those shout outs, guys, that I wasn't able to do last week because of the fact that I wasn't in front of my computer when I recorded that very hodgepodge, helter-skelter, none of those are the right terms, intro. But so here we go with that. I wanted to thank Ben for writing in and advising me to watch Hinterland, which is a Netflix show. This was because I was talking about liking those dark British mysteries. And I reassured Ben that I was very aware of Hinterland and was deep into season two. What can I say? I don't even really care of a plot so much if I can just enjoy moody, fog-covered moors. Love. Thank you for sending that. Damon and Holly, thanks for your great emails. Marie in Trinidad, very excited to meet you when I do the Comic-Con in Trinidad and Tobago in the summertime. Very excited about that. I'm also looking forward towards the end of this month to being at Haven Con again in Austin and being at the Indiana Con at the very end of April. Haley, thank you so much for your suggestion. Ryan, thanks for your email. Chiaki and Taylor, thanks for getting in touch. Always great to hear from you. And Jesse, thank you for sending your recommends and for guests. And that's it. Again, if you have great ideas for my 200th episode, please know I'm so busy. I've become panicky about what to do that's a little outside the box or different. I would love to get like the most famous guest in the world. It's just not something I have a ton of time to commit to in terms of getting in touch with people's publicists and stuff. So, but I welcome your ideas and I appreciate your listenership. I sounded like I was fundraising. Enjoy the episode and I will talk to you next time. Bye.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Because I'm so mindful of them, because I was never a dog person when I was younger.
I hated dogs.
Did you hate dogs too?
I'm scared of them. Hated them.
I was partially scared and partially also just like, and I was a messy, sloppy child. So I don't want to pretend like I had an issue with general messiness.
Yeah.
But I was not a person up through my teenage years who wanted dog slobber, who felt like I was like,
yeah,
it's too big of a risk.
Many
of my friends' dogs smell terrible. That whole thing, I had cat. I always had like a cat or no pets.
Yep.
Right?
Very similar.
And then
I had one cat, Cleo. She's my best friend.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How old did you, I mean, I got her when I was like in
third grade and then had her until like right before I went to college.
So, you know,
because
I had one for 16 years.
Yeah. And I was like,
I've never been a cat person. Yeah, me too.
I haven't been able to get another one either. I didn't love it.
Yeah.
Like it was weird. And then I'm afraid, like, will that happen? If I get another dog, will I not love the dog? Like, why did I have such an attachment to the cat?
I know. I feel the same. And in fact, I can't honestly remember if I talked about this or if it was so painful that I didn't talk about it at all, which is crazy because I've definitely talked about my cat dying because it happened like 3 years ago. And it was all I was thinking about. But then I can't remember if I told the story that I adopted two kittens and then one of them died immediately and I had to adopt out the other one because it was like I rushed in too soon because everyone was like, just get him now. Just get a kitten. You just got to move on.
That's what people do with puppies. Just get a puppy right away. It's the biggest distraction. I'm like, but maybe you need to like have a minute.
I should never have done it. And I thought I had waited because it was like March and it hit and my cat had died in the very beginning of January or the end of December.
Yeah, you're only ready when you're ready.
I totally wasn't ready. I was like, I went to a kill shelter. So I was like, this is going to be great. It's going to make me feel so good.
It died. And what did it die of?
And there were two little kittens that were brothers and I adopted them. And the one of them was just whatever was going on with his little kitten insides. I mean, I spent like $2,000.
Why were you spending money on it? Oh, you weren't like
fostering. Getting sick.
Oh, you were adopted.
I adopted them, and almost immediately he stopped eating. And I freaked out because I had just put my cat down a few months before.
Yeah, you were like, I can't do this again.
I was like, no, I'm not losing another cat.
Yeah.
And you just clutch harder. Money.
I mean, yeah, you clutch harder. It won't happen again.
I immediately stuffed an IV into his little paw.
Yeah.
I mean, I was not going to let that happen.
No,
obviously.
And so
I poured money into it, and they were like, you know, he's just some kid. He was like probably the runt of the litter, and he
sometimes
had gave him like 2 great weeks of his life that he probably wouldn't have had otherwise.
Oh God, I can't.
AKA, you spent $2,000
for 2 weeks
and
of
then
your life.
He
the best
died.
Work vacation.
I mean, it was
had.
Really, and then I was devastated, and I had to adopt out the other kitten because I was like, I will never be able to look at this kitten without thinking about his brother. It was awful. Awful.
There's nothing. We got 2 kittens in New York when I was like 20 with my roommate, and the thing is, I don't think you should ever share animals with like a friend.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was the first problem because like, it's not mine. Like, whose is it? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, whose is it? Who's really investing the time?
Yeah.
And they were fucking, I mean, we got them and they had ringworm. But then we got ringworm. Mm-hmm. They were sick. They had
really?
Fleas. It was like terrible.
No.
We moved them from New York to LA. And then one got hit by a car on my birthday.
Oh, Jesus.
One got eaten by a coyote. And the other one's living on a farm in Colorado. And it was something more like I was just not. I mean, I also think it's maybe early 20s. Like and the loss of my cat was so. I remember when my cat died and I remember being like, I can never go through anything like this again.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't do it. I won't do it.
I still feel that way, yet I got another dog. Like, I don't know. It's like 2 different parts of your brain, I think.
Yeah, you know
what's
coming.
One part is like, I'll never do this again. And the other part is like,
I have
to do this again.
Yeah.
I need to do this again. It's kind of amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I hated dogs, scared of dogs. I had been attacked by dogs.
Oh, no.
And
when were you attacked by dogs?
I was attacked when I was a kid, and I was attacked out here in LA when going over to a friend's house.
Boy, oh, boy.
By like a small medium kind of like schnauzer or something.
Uh-huh.
Just fucking bit my leg.
Good crime.
Bit my hand. I just entered the house.
Yeah.
I wasn't the first person it bit. It wasn't like, you know. And so that kind of sealed the deal for me. I was like, dogs are the devil.
Right.
And no. But I would secretly go on Craigslist and look at puppy pictures. And I would.
I love this. And this I would deviant just be like, behavior.
And I would just
like,
be like. What is it? Like, how there's got to be something great about them, but I don't know. Like, I always was afraid they would just turn.
Yeah.
Like something would snap a dog.
Well, I can understand why you would think given those experiences.
And then once I like got into a serious relationship and we got married, I was like, okay, maybe I could do this with a partner. You know what I mean? Maybe someone who's, cause he's not afraid of dogs. I was like, because I can't just be like a fearful person and a dog.
Right.
And then I did all this research, and now I have like the biggest, scariest dog, and it's the best.
What kind of dog do you have?
Like a Great Dane Mastiff.
Ooh.
So big. I'll show you a picture. They won't be able to see it.
This is good because you're a beautiful, tall lady. So having a large dog isn't like you're dwarfed by your own dog, which some people are.
Oh, yeah. No.
Which is also fine, but I do think it's funny.
Yeah, it is funny when they are. Where's
that? I mean, like, I have a good friend who has a Great Dane he weighs. Like half what his dog weighs. He's just a small little kitty.
I love actual bit. I have all these videos. It's like, we don't need videos.
Side note, I was playing the game. Have you ever played Heads Up?
It's Heads Up 7 Up.
Yeah. Well, not Heads Up 7 Up like you would play in school, but Heads Up, like there's an app game that's just kind of like, it's just like a speed game of like, you describe a thing and then you try to get it. It's one of those things that was like hot shit for a minute. And if you missed it, no big deal. But every once in a while, I'll pull it back out and you can guess animals. And one of the categories is animals. And someone was playing it with me and said, oh my God, he's so cute. Guys, what's his name?
Mason.
Mason, look at those paws. White glove delivery. Don't mind if I do.
Yeah, he's a cutie. Patooties.
So to end this dumb story, the clue that they gave me was like, this is the kind of dog that a Scooby-Doo is. And, you know, it's a speed round. Apparently he's a Great Dane, but it's a speed
round. He is?
I know, but I think maybe, I don't know. But this is what I said, because it's a speed round, so you're anxious, so you're trying to get answers out.
Yeah.
And I was 100% confident in my answer. I go, Marmaduke. So
amazing.
In my mind,
mine was
a breed of dog.
Mine was Hound.
Yeah.
Because he had the big ears. I guess that's Dane.
No, Scoob has
the little
pointy,
ones.
little pointy brown ears. Oh, I can't say that he looks like a Great Dane particularly. I can't say that he particularly looks like Marmaduke, who's just another cartoon character.
Another cartoon.
I can only relate one cartoon to another cartoon.
I mean, oh, wow. That's a hard question.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I could, I don't know how I would describe a Great Dane in a game like that unless just to say like, it's the biggest dog.
It's the biggest dog. Yeah. I mean, now I know because I've done like lots of research because he does a lot of the traits of like what they do. So yeah. Now I would get it more, but that's only because I've done research on it. I wouldn't know any other way.
There was a Disney movie that I loved called The Ugly Dachshund. That was circa, I'm sure it was like the 60s or 70s. Not to say that it was like brand new when I was a child, but it was, I'm sure some of you have seen it, but it was, a Great Dane who is brought into this home. What's his name? It's like the same guy from The Love Bug, Dean something. Can't remember his name, but it's,
I gotta look this up because I'm,
and
no
I think
idea.
It was the Shaggy D.A. It's one of the, you know how they had like the same rotating cast like Annette Funicello. This guy was that. He was the Annette Funicello kind of, and his wife, who was Suzanne Plachet, who's like a total badass.
Love it.
She keeps like show dogs and their dachshunds, and they're just like two, like a mom and her two puppies, and they're just brats. And he doesn't like those, but he wants his own dog, so he gets a Great Dane puppy that grows up with a dachshund, so he thinks he's a dachshund. So hijinks ensue.
I can see it
because he's big and clumsy, and the dachshunds are kind of assholes again. Yeah. And so they will do terrible things and then coax him into it. But these are live action animals.
Wow,
it's quite charming.
Well, I have to see.
May
this.
I recommend it to you?
Yeah, I will watch it. I will watch anything dog related. Since we're on the dog, do you know, have you watched all of those rescue videos?
Oh, no.
All of the dog ones in LA?
Tell me more.
I'm deep in. Before I got Mason, it's called Hope for Paws, and they show all these stray dogs. Well, the reason why I'm saying
I just get so like, oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw it. All of them.
Yeah.
And the main guy who like does it, his name is Eldad. He's like famous in the rescue world. Uh-huh. Like, which is even weirder.
Celebrities. And I totally get it. Well, like, Natalie Garcia, shout out to Natalie Garcia's episode. She founded her own dog organization called Mayday Rescue.
Ooh.
Mayday Rescue that has a bunch of cute. And she's actually doing a huge, I'm not stealing your thunder or his thunder. She sounds like a real celebrity.
I want to hear it.
They did a whole book of rescue dogs with like celebrities, great. Just brought them into like, and then older person.
A rescue is like one of the hardest in terms of like funding thing. Yeah. How do you keep it going?
Oh,
and like,
yeah.
Like it's just not an easy venture.
Exhausting.
Like, I'm
absolutely.
Just like, ooh.
Yeah.
Because I thought about it because there are people in the rescue world who are a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know why
there's not a show
fast.
About just rescue people. Because they're fucking crazy.
I know.
Mason was stolen back.
From the rescue?
From our apartment.
Okay. I can relate to this so much because I was trying to adopt a husky, not Whitley, but I was trying to adopt a husky, and this woman wouldn't allow anyone to adopt any of the dogs. And she lived out in like,
was it the
Twin Palms or something?
Is it the husky rescue that's like far away from
here?
Yeah,
it's like, and it's 1,000 degrees out there. She keeps them outside.
It's terrible.
And she won't adopt anyone. She won't let anyone adopt them.
I asked to foster for them.
I'm sure she was like, I'm not letting it out of my sight.
And she said no. And I was like, she was like, they all are fine here. I was like, okay. Well, first of all, I didn't say anything about it.
People become dog hoarders.
They become dog hoarders.
Either rescuers are the best people in the world and awesome and sound-minded, or they're cuckoo.
Yeah. And I like, because I was obsessed with getting a husky. I was like, wanted a husky since I saw, did you ever see Iron Will?
No, but again, I recommended The Ugly Dachshund, so you're fine.
It's a Disney movie with Kevin Spacey.
This is so funny.
It's amazing.
This is amazing. I can't believe we're trading kids Disney dog movies right now. It makes me so happy.
I keep wanting to watch it and show everyone on it, but it's not... it's not rentable right now because you know Disney. I mean, they will lock that shit down.
They will definitely
it is released
good
when it is released.
It. You will find maybe a VHS cassette for
$99
even watch
on YouTube.
If someone has on eBay.
Iron Will, Kevin Spacey, and it's about a true story about a kid. Well, I think who knows, dog sledding, doing the major dog sled race.
Yeah,
and I saw that movie and I thought, I gotta have a husky.
I'll tell ya.
I'm gonna have a husky. I'm gonna have a husky. I'm gonna have a husky. So I did all this research. And my husband was like, honey, we just save a dog. It doesn't matter which one.
Right.
And I was like, stop.
I can't believe you didn't get one.
I was like, and then, well, because Well, they're a hot first commodity. Of all,
very hard to get from that woman.
Well, they take them out of shelters.
I remember I told you I adopted out of Paradise Ranch because they rescued her from the Pasadena pound, and they knew I was looking for a husky, and they took her and were like, if Janet doesn't want her, I'm sure someone will adopt her because she's a hot commodity. But yeah, you're right. They actually are.
They're a hot commodity. Also, they're not a tricky dog, but they're work. You gotta
work smart as a whip.
You gotta,
it's terrifying.
You get
you
in.
You know
there.
What you're getting into. I definitely was like, I know what I'm getting into. Yeah, you know, and what I have you're to still into. Say that. I have to still say there are times when she'll do something and be like, my siren song is like, I wanted a husky, everyone. I wanted a husky. I asked for this.
Yeah.
I asked for this.
Exactly. And like it's one of those things where, sorry, I have like an eye booger.
Get in there.
It's weird because like rescue people, they'll start like brand rescues, like the golden retriever rescue,
right?
The husky rescue, the great dane rescue, the hound, the beagle,
right?
The poodle, right. The doodle rescue,
not a breed.
The chow rescue.
Yeah,
there's never really, well, there are mutt rescues, like ghetto rescue, yeah, rescue.
She does, Natalie does rescues particularly with like, this dog is missing an eye, this dog has three legs, and like
help
takes the cutest pictures of them so that you're like, I have to help this dog.
Yeah.
It's very smart.
But like when they,
oh my God, that's so crazy.
What?
Her fiance, Maria, just texted me. I have not talked to her in about a month.
This is amazing.
She just texted me. That's crazy.
Yeah, well,
that
they know.
Right there is crazy.
Ears are burning.
Shout out Maria.
Fire
Natalie.
Burning.
That's so nuts.
Yeah. Okay. So I really wanted to get a husky. So I went to the West LA shelter. I contacted a bunch of shelters. I contacted a bunch of rescues because I went on and like looked for huskies and like, or a shepherd. I was like, I want that.
Yeah.
And then, I called her because I wanted to foster first because I was like, because I knew they
that's
were
totally
work.
Smart. It's
and
very
I was like,
reasonable.
let me get in there.
Yes.
And then there was the one.
Which, by the way, is a great, I mean, like, it just shows responsibility. It shows that you're not going to rush into it willy-nilly.
Yeah, I don't want to like give it back. I don't want to be an asshole.
Yeah.
And so we went and there was this one like what beautiful dog, but like it had just been turned in and it needed to be tested and they didn't know. And then I contacted that woman and she was like, no, no, no. And I was like, well, okay, calm down.
Yeah.
And then, so then so for funny. Some reason I found a husky, but a rescue had picked it up called Chow, adopt a chow.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what the fuck? There's an adopt a chow? There's a chow rescue? I was like, I don't even know. So I went to her to find the husky and she was like, I only have the chow now. Can you adopt the chow out? And I was like, because pet finders, like,
yeah,
like, are all those pets alive? Like, what's happening? Are you guys updating that regularly? Like,
right.
I don't know about it.
Yeah.
Because
I
got sucked in and really wanted to find that dog, but couldn't find that dog.
Yeah.
And then I went to the thing and I was like, I don't want a chow. I know chows are even harder. Get out of here.
Yeah. Chows so, can be really,
they can be tricky. And I was like, this is my first dog. So then I said, contact me if you, I told a bunch of these people, like, contact me if you have a dog to be fostered. She sent me this thing and it was like Great Dane Lab. And I was like, I like Great Danes. Cool. She was like, it's going to be big, blah, blah, blah. So we fostered him. And then after like 4 days, I was like, we're going to keep this dog.
Yeah.
And then that's when things got weird. And she was like, so technically he was found on the street, then rescued. Then they were going to put him out on the street. He was never in this rescue. A woman was going to give whatever you pay for him to this woman, but was never actually this woman's rescue dog. Do you know what I mean?
Wait, what?
Okay. So Mason was a street dog.
Yep.
Found on the street. Then like his, and then put back out on the street, and then and then like got into a fight.
Well, okay, wait. So put back on the street, like someone rescued him temporarily, and then was like, ugh, and then put him back
and
out,
and was like, we're gonna put him out because he's too big, he's too much,
ugh.
and someone
else will find him.
And this woman, Vicky, was like, before he goes to a shelter, let me see if I can find him a foster.
Right.
She contacted this woman at Adopt a Chow and was like, I'll give you whoever pays for him. Like the proceeds, if you can help him. And so I was like, I'll foster him. So we fostered him, but it was never this girl. It was, she was never like under her thing.
Right.
So then it started to get weird when we said we wanted to adopt him. Cause I said, well, can we get his papers? Like,
yeah.
Has he been chipped? Like, what are his shots? Like, if we're paying $350, what are we paying it for?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's a lot of money. I know it's going to other dogs in need, but like, also like, has he had a shot? So, like, what's going
and
on?
And sometimes, again, then this is a hot topic in terms of people who are defensive. Again, I can't say enough. The people who are doing it right
are heroes. Great. And there are many, many of them.
And I get it.
And there are people who take advantage of the hardworking people who make the reputation sterling, and then they abuse that. Just like anything. Just like anything.
Yeah.
They abuse that. They pocket the money. They don't take good enough care of the dog. That does happen.
Yeah.
It does happen.
And I should have known.
So you deserve to know, like, what is this going towards? I want to be sure that this is going towards
something. And other rescues who are great just go, oh, this,
absolutely.
We're going to deliver it to you with this. Absolutely. We're going to do a house check. This is what's happening. And I was like, great.
Yeah.
And then she started to be shady and she was like, well, and then she started to, and then, I said, well, we'll pay you, but we need the stuff. Like, that's what a transaction is.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like, I pay you for a dog, you give me his stuff.
Right.
And you know, what I came to find out is she didn't have it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the problem. She didn't have it. She was never going to have it because it wasn't her dog.
But she still, but rather than just say, this is a tricky situation, she was like, yeah, great, go ahead and give me that money.
Yeah. And then she was like, well, you need to bring him to the adoption on Saturday. I was like, okay, I still want to adopt him. So I was in the shower and naked and there was a knock on the door.
No. This is so bad.
And my husband opens it and she just goes, come here. And Mason runs out and she grabs him and takes off.
Oh my Lord.
And Nick was like, someone took the dog.
God.
And then I'm like, grab him. And he's like, well, she's a woman. What do you want me to do? Like, let me just grab this woman. And I was like, get her. And I just went feral. And I'm like naked and I'm screaming.
Oh my God.
And I'm sobbing.
I would too.
It was like, and then the next week was just insane. So she took him and then I was like, how do we get him back? And so then basically it turned into like, I have to reason with a crazy person.
Yeah.
And that was like unfortunate. So then I finally find out where she is. She's like, and I'm like, okay. She's like, well, you weren't going to give me the money. And I was like, okay, here's the money in cash.
Right.
Where are his papers? If you're not going to get him, Vicky, the woman whose dog, who basically was in the care of the dog, she was like, she called her and yelled at her and was like, you can't do that. I have the information. It's my dog. It's technically not your dog. And then they got into a thing and I was like, I don't just want the dog.
I know.
What's the issue? And then she was like, how do I know that you're going to feed it? You're going to beat it. And then she started insulting us and she was like, actors shouldn't have dogs. And I was like, oh my God. She was like, and then she was like, I'm going to ruin you in this town. I'm going to tell casting directors. I literally was like, and I was standing there and I was
such
like,
a weird twist to this where it becomes so Hollywood weird. Specific. Like, any of this could have happened in any other city up until she was going to ruin you.
Ruin me.
Via casting directors.
Yeah. And then my husband,
flabbergasted.
He got visibly upset and she was like, I'm going to call the police on him. And I was like, and he was just like, what are you talking about? And then at the very end of the whole saga, we get him in the car. And then she goes, I don't want the money. Don't even give me the money. It's, you know what I mean? At the end.
Yeah.
But
she's the bigger person in the situation.
And I was like, you know what? I'm giving it to somebody. So I called Vicky and she was like, well, give it to my animal hospital. I was like, great. There's going to be a transaction's going to happen. Like, I have this dog and then I had to get the papers from her. This woman didn't even really matter.
Yeah.
And then I find out that she's not really a legally nonprofit. And then I go on Yelp and I read this whole thing about it and I was like, oh, I should have gone on Yelp. But who knows that there's going to be like, and the person there
also,
was like,
Yelp is so weird because it feels like it's like
crazy.
Permission to trolls. It's like, I invite a troll to come and say whatever horrible thing they want to about the small business.
Yeah.
That also feels
because
it's
Yelp
tricky.
Isn't safe. It's not safe, but there was only one review and it was basically what happened
mm-hmm,
to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, and I should have known because when I went to go meet this woman by the West, I mean, now I kind of like, once you're in the rescue world, you know the legit ones. I'd be fine now. But there's a lot of people like us at the beginning who just don't know.
Yeah.
You're just like trying to get a dog and then people are weird.
Absolutely.
And then you just don't get it.
Absolutely.
And I should have known because she was like being weird with dogs who were like really stressed out in kennels and like spraying water at them and like being like she wasn't handling dogs in a way that made me feel comfortable.
Right.
And I should have like heard that voice and been like, go away. This isn't right. Like,
yeah,
this isn't.
I know. But the problem I think that gets because I did the same thing when I was out at that Husky rescue. I had such a weird feeling. She was like, I brought my, I mean, you know, it's like an hour and a half away.
Yeah.
And I brought my dog, Scott,
with me because she was like, I need to see your dog and I need to see, you know, what the story. I'm sure, I apologize if I already told the story, but I took Steve Agee with me. And
Steve Agee went, how was he? Was he like, this is crazy?
It was great. It was great to have a person there. Yeah, you know what I mean? I was like, come with me. And so he came out there with me to keep me company. And I'd already said, like, she's very abrasive. I was like, she's very abrasive. I don't really know what to expect, but you know, we've made this appointment and I fall in love with this dog. Was like, had seen a picture of her, was like, yeah, this is exactly what I want.
Yeah.
Based on nothing.
based on the
good feeling I really felt I had. Yeah. I write the story. And so we get out there and it's summer and it's hot as hell. It's like 110 degrees or whatever.
What's the place like? Is it nice?
Or it's
is it
like shitty? No, it's kind of shabby. I mean, it
looks on like an outdoor kennel.
That's what it is. It's wire cages and dogs running around and dog poop and dust and dirt and and so we get there and she's already overbooked herself. So like her little pen where you can interact with dogs, someone else is already there doing it. And I can hear her kind of like barking at them, so to speak.
Oh God.
And then, so we're just kind of waiting. And then finally she lets us in and my dog immediately, unsurprisingly, runs over to the water bowl and starts drinking because he's been in the car for an hour and a half and it's 110 degrees.
Do not
tell
me.
And she goes, "No, your dog seems very thirsty. Is there something wrong with him?"
Oh, man. Ooh.
I was like, I think even AG was like, we just drove an hour and a half up here and we've been waiting and the dog, you know, and like,
it's the summer. It was wrong.
Remember how you asked him for water before? So basically then this other dog comes in, they do fine together. And she's like, well, I just don't know. I don't know if they're going to get along. And I was like, wait, they've just been in this pen. They never snarled at each other. They never barked at each other. My dog basically sniffed her, like, gave her an approving look and then went and lay down in a corner because he's however old he was then, 10 years old, 9 years old. And he doesn't care. And then she was just like bounding around excited to have attention and friends. So, but again, it was like, and then I had to send her pictures of my yard and everything, which I sent very good pictures. Like, also, I've had a dog here for X amount of years. Yeah. He's never escaped. He's great.
Get off your ass and come see it if you're so concerned.
It was just terrible. But my point being, I love that we've already talked about this for 25 minutes. My point being is that I became very stubborn and wanted to take her out of that environment rather than listening to my instinct, which was this is not great.
Yeah.
This is not a good person. I don't want this person in my life. I shouldn't be tied to this person via this dog no matter what. There's only so much I can do. It became more important to me than ever to get this dog.
So what happened?
So I was like, hi, here's the pictures of my yard.
Oh, so you kept following up after
I kept following up because she kept saying like, well, I'm going out of town or like, I just got a new dog. I'm dealing with that. So she kept putting me off. So she was never explicitly saying like, it's not a fit. She kept saying, I think this is going to work out. Just give me blank. Just hold on.
How did it end?
And I just stopped hearing from her. She just disappeared on me.
She ain't rescuing dogs.
And I mean, I called my vet and I called Paradise Ranch, which is why they knew I was looking for a husky, and said, I'm dealing with a crazy husky woman.
Yeah. They're crazy.
I have asked her, I have begged her to call you to be my reference, both of you, because I can't make it any more clear to her that I'm a good, reliable owner.
Yeah.
And they were like, we've been through this before. Like, don't get your hopes up, da, da, da. And so she disappeared on me. Huh?
Have they been through this
before? They just said in general, right? With people, they're like, some people say they're going to let those dogs go and they won't do it.
It's always specific. I also think it's almost always very specific breeds because they get,
it's like a weird fetishistic thing.
Well, and it's like they get like better than like we have. Like,
yeah, I'm the one who knows how to deal with this kind of dog.
I'm the one who has huskies and I decide who gets one.
That's right. That's right.
Instead of like, it's a dog, it needs a home.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And you can almost see how it starts out as like with any of us, unchecked, you know, it's like, please be responsible. Please make sure my dog can't escape. When you look at it on paper, you're like, of course. Thank you for following up with all these things.
Yeah, because then you see dogs become
more and more twisted where it's like, uh-oh, now it's come to a place where you've had some bad experiences on your end and you have created a situation in which you can no longer see clearly that this is what you're doing, even with great people. And I totally get it. But you have to have someone keeping you in check saying like, now this, there is no reason not to adopt this dog out yeah. to this person.
And that, like, I,
you know, you're not seeing this rationally.
I dealt
anymore.
With this woman one more time. Not the, the woman who actually took him from our yard. I've never spoken to her again. And I thought about filing like a complaint.
I mean, I
against
can't believe
it.
She did that. That's
I,
just crazy.
I thought about filing a complaint, but I like just didn't want to give her any more like emotional space.
Sure.
Can't. But the other woman who gave us Mason, like, she's very similar. Like, just too wrapped up, too Mason's too, like, she means fucking well.
Yeah.
Sorry, am I allowed to curse?
Absolutely.
She means well. Like, yeah. I see what she, I don't think she's a bad person, but like, no, everybody needs to be checked. And yeah. so I said I would foster this puppy. She was like 12 weeks old. And like, this little pit bull puppy, my dog's great with dogs. And I mean, it was a mess. It was one of those things where like, she was deaf. She was blind in one eye. She had a UTI. She had another infection. No one took her to the vet before. She was like bleeding. I was like, guys, you can't give just a stranger a dog that's yeah. really ill.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't be 24-hour care. I can foster a dog, but I want to be those Instagrams I follow, but I'm currently not.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they wouldn't take the dog back. And I was like, oh, I'm on the other end. I was like, they were like, well, we don't have anywhere for her to yeah. go. And I was like, well, you
oh,
guys,
God.
I was like, you got to take it.
It's so hard. It's so tricky because it really is. It's one of those things where, and I'm sure anybody who has animals can attest to this. It's like, it's a very weird gray area in the sense that it's. By the way, I couldn't speak in with any intelligence towards adoption of children or abandoning yes. children or anything yeah. like that. But in general, it's a very gray area mm-hmm. because this it's a highly emotional, highly invested thing that you're doing on either side if
oh,
you're a good
yeah.
person.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so rife with like this dog becomes your baby in a sense.
Yeah.
Whether or not you espouse the sort of my dogs are my children thing, which I don't, but I still love them.
Yeah.
And I don't have kids, so
yeah.
I love them.
Yeah, you just
I know
love
I
them.
Would love a child more. Let yeah. me just be honest yeah. with that. You yeah. know what I'm saying? That's no mark on me.
Yeah.
But you care deeply. I mean, you bring them into your home. You
yeah.
share your life with them.
Yeah.
And so it's a huge deal. And it's a huge deal to the people that are rescuing these animals. And yet it's also just like a normal thing for people to just ditch their animals and so many strays and not get
yeah.
their animals fixed. And so it's this, it really is this crazy epidemic in most countries, from what I understand,
yeah.
but certainly speaking to America, where it's this like highly important emotional thing for many people, yet it's also this thing that you just tossed away like garbage.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you balance those things? How do you navigate knowing that for many people it's treated with the utmost care and for other people it's not?
It's
and as a person who's screening, you know, I'm sure you could go a little crazy. I could
oh,
never
yeah.
do it. I probably
I
would
sobbed.
Go crazy.
I sobbed when I gave her, I sobbed because I felt like a failure, but I was like, I can't do it. I mean, it was one of those things where she needed like a vet technician, like
right.
she needed constant
sure
care.
Sure.
And you know what ended up happening was I've started to believe by working in rescue and seeing rescues and being around, a friend of mine said it best to me, that every dog has their own higher power,
right?
And like that was like
who
really...
is your, because I was gonna say I got amazing advice from a couple of different girls that we both know.
Oh really? I don't think it was her.
Oh,
okay. It was another not her, I don't know who her is that you're talking about. It was my friend Cesare. She was just like, and because she had done a lot of fostering, and she
yeah.
was like, not all dogs. And I've also learned that, like, not all dogs I'm gonna like.
Yeah.
No, that's
yeah,
okay.
Too,
like,
is, yeah, you know, like, I mean, people say that too. They're like, I love my dog or I love my child. That doesn't mean I'm going to fall
love
madly in love with every
yeah,
single child.
Yeah, and some
child.
Dogs I like, and sometimes I love, and some dogs I tolerate.
Mm-hmm.
And
same.
When she said, like, every dog has their higher power, I had to. It helped me because then what ended up happening with the puppy is it did find a better foster. It did
yeah.
end up having a better life.
Yeah.
Because I found my limit. Like, I was like, that's it for me at this
right.
moment.
Right.
And I found, and I realized that I found like a more appropriate rescue who I called, and they were like, oh yeah, if there's a problem with the dog, we immediately take it back.
Right.
Or if we give you all the supplies and we make sure it goes to the vet, like
right.
we do all of these steps.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's what a normal rescue does.
Right.
That makes
Let
sense.
Let me ask you, now would you steal my dog from me
yeah.
at any time?
Well,
I should just, I just need to ask.
Yeah,
I just
it
need
was
to
one
ask.
Of those things where I finally realized like there's like, like, because I've always been treated as if, like, they're doing me a favor for me helping them out.
Right.
Do you know what I
right,
mean?
Right.
And I've learned that, like, if you're at the right place, like, they understand that you're opening up your home and you're yeah. doing something to help. Yeah. And it is hard. And so yeah. they help you with that. And so that was good. But having that advice has helped even when I see, like, because sometimes I'm driving and you see a dog and I can't yeah. stop.
I know.
Or whatever.
Who can you call? Is like, there
what
something?
Do you
yeah.
do?
Yeah, exactly.
Like
exactly.
Like, did you see the Griffith Park straight? I'm so sorry we're talking about dogs this whole time. Do you want to talk about something else?
We will. We'll talk about
okay,
something else.
I just had this moment where I was
here's my belief about the listener. I have tremendous faith in my listeners. I feel that this is how I feel. If I'm listening to two people talk passionately about something, I honestly don't even care what it is.
Oh,
like,
okay,
if two people are arguing over molecules, I'll be like, I don't know anything about this, but I'm starting to think maybe I should be a chemist. Like,
yeah,
I
yeah,
just
yeah, totally.
I,
okay,
so,
great, great, great.
You know what I'm saying? If we were just like, let's see, tap, tap, tap.
Yeah.
Like, dogs.
No, yeah, this is better. This is better.
The Griffith Park.
What
was it?
So there was a stray dog in Griffith Park mm-hmm. who I had seen, and Eldad, the Hope for Paws rescue guy, got him. But it was one of those things where, like, you know, I could help, and I went up and I found it. But there's been situations where I've, like, they eventually got him and it was great. And now he's in a foster home. But there's been situations where, like, stray dogs are not easy to catch.
No.
it's not like a stop and you grab.
Yeah.
It's
like, do you have 2 hours?
2 hours or weeks or
sure.
how do, like, we set up a trap for this dog. I mean, it tried everything.
Oh my God. Yeah. My friends Gabe and Etta rescued a dog and they couldn't get anyone to help them,
oh, really?
Including rescues. It's one of those times of year where people were like, I'm so sorry, I can't take him yet.
Oh yeah.
And they were just like, and they had a cat and a dog and they were just paying for basically dog care for this poor dog.
So what happened?
Finally, somebody adopted him.
Oh, okay.
But those poor, I mean, that was yeah. the thing where it was like, I was like, I want to help you. I can't, you're the best people in the world for doing this.
Well, I'll give you Hope for Paws rescue number. So if you run into a stray dog,
yeah,
they're and the people.
I probably would call.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I would call. I'm sure.
Natalie
would probably also say, you know, I can't, but here's, you know.
Yeah, because that's the thing is if you find a stray dog, well, you're supposed to take it to a shelter just in case it is anybody's, blah,
right.
blah, blah. There's like a whole thing, whatever. But I did call some rescues too, and they were like, well, if it's aggressive, we don't know if yeah. we can take it. And I was just like, oh, so this dog's like life is just like, we don't know. Like, and then yeah. you're responsible for it. And then yeah. you're like taking that on and it's a lot. That's a lot. So
it's
when
a lot.
I see
the expectation can't be that every single good hearted person who sees a stray dog stops everything they're doing to address it. And so
yeah.
that's what's great about having someplace like Mayday or Hope for Paws where you yeah. can you have as a resource, because they also interlink with each other. So
yeah,
they
all
say,
work together.
We have five dogs in our home right now. We can't do this, but we will call these three people
yeah.
or, you know, try to help.
Because if they're
you.
All working together, because like Ghetto Rescue, Downtown Dog Rescue, and like Watts Rescue, they're all like the South LA
yeah.
and like Angel City Pits. They're
yeah.
all like pulling from like Compton.
Yeah.
And like, because where there are just a bunch of dogs.
Yeah.
And it's good because they're all like, oh, let's work together. We can't all do it on our own.
Yeah, absolutely. If you had told like 18-year-old either of us that we would have spent this amount of time talking about dogs and dog rescue, we both would have been shut the fuck up.
I'd be like, first
I'll
of
never.
All, I'm not that lame. I have other things going on. I never thought people are shocked to see me now because I was, yeah. I would push you. If there was a dog coming, I'd push you and I'd go to the other side of the street.
Amazing.
And people would be like, Mel, it's fine. I'd be like, mm-mm. But now I've learned it's the people. It's the people that are dumb.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
yeah,
not
yeah,
the
yeah.
dog's fault.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I get that
Agreed.
More now.
Agreed.
And like that makes sense.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. What if I were podcasting 18-year-old you, what would you do you think that you could have? And I'm saying that not knowing what my answer is because I had to like really think about where I was when I was 18. I think probably I would.
I'm going to be a serious dramatic theater actress.
Is that what you would say?
And I'm just really excited about going to New York.
Uh-huh,
and
uh-huh.
I had a real thick Southern accent.
Where was this happening that you had not gone to New York yet?
I was in Georgia.
Okay.
I'm from Georgia.
And you had a fake Southern accent?
No, I had a real thick
you
Southern
accent. You did?
Oh, I
thick
was
one.
Like, I was very redneck.
Georgia's a very sweet accent, I think.
Yeah,
I've
no,
heard.
It's great.
Yeah.
And I was just like very focused on getting out of Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Where in
going,
Georgia?
Fayetteville.
Okay.
It's where they shoot all the Walking Dead shit.
Right.
Haven't
right. So
been
it's
on
a kind
it.
Of a sub- it's kind of a suburb. You know why? Because that woman ruined your relationship to all casting directors.
basically, Joan did it. That's her name, Joan.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like a semi-suburb
like suburb.
Of Georgia.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I was very focused on being, I mean, you know, I mean, not that I'm not focused on being an actor. I'm doing a podcast. We get it. Yeah. But like, I was like very, you know, that 18 year old, like I was like, I'm ready. Like, reading theater books was like my thing, and I'm going to New York and I'm going to the big city. And I was just so excited.
How early?
I also had never had sex.
Okay, great. Also good to hear.
I was a virgin, and I had never dated anyone ever.
Oh, this is great. I got to get into this down and dirty.
Yeah.
When did you, at what age did you start to become that serious? Were you a kid who was like that?
Serious for acting? Mm-hmm. I remember once I wanted, how old was I? I really wanted to be the very first female Braves baseball player.
Great. I don't know why you didn't do that.
You know what? That is a niche market I should have really gone for.
It really is.
I saw A League of Their Own and I was like, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm doing that today.
Yeah.
And I was on the baseball team. I was the only girl.
That's great.
Yeah. It was so fun. Except for like, no one wants to like have a girl. Well, back then, no one wanted a girl to be great at it. So every time I went up to bat, they would walk me. So they'd hit me with the ball.
Okay. That's not great.
It's not sad.
Yeah. The intention is great. And like many people who want to do something that other people aren't used to them doing, it sucks.
Yeah,
it sucks to be the person that starts that, or even the person who's doing it several years in. I mean, there are still women in the military who would say, yeah, there have been a lot of women since me and will be after me, and I still have a shitty experience.
Yeah, and you're just like, and I remember, so it was like our last game before playoffs, and and we were a really good team, and the coach comes up to me, he was like, the other team doesn't have enough players. And they're going to forfeit. And if they forfeit, then we have to play a harder team to get to the playoffs.
You're kidding me.
Would you play on their team? And I just was like, so I played against my own team.
Oh my God. Please tell me that you talk about this in your stand-up.
I don't know why I haven't. I got it.
Precious as can be.
And I played against my team, and I just remember sitting in the dugout with a bunch of weird boys.
Speaking of Disney movies, like, I hate to say it, but young Lindsay Lohan probably would have.
She would have killed
you,
it. Yeah.
Would have been. Oh, remember young
And Lindsay I sat Lohan. There and I was like, what is going on? It is crazy. And I was up. And then I remember I was like, the ball would come to me, and I was like, do I catch it? I mean, because I'm catching against my team.
Yeah, don't you want to throw it? Yeah,
I don't
want
to catch it. And I was like, I don't really know what to do.
Oh, this is
so
amazing.
I was so confused.
This is amazing. Or it's like a Beverly Cleary book, which, by the way, happy birthday, Beverly Cleary. I think her birthday was a couple days ago.
Oh, really?
Not that I know her, but I did see that it was her birthday.
I love it.
God, that's amazing.
Yeah. So that was the last year I played.
When you look at that, do you feel like does it in any way look like it's sort of symptomatic of like a larger, like, that was me, Little Mel?
Oh, yeah. That's very indicative of how my life went. Like, okay. In terms of like definitely Little Mel and Big Mel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was the last year I played baseball. Because I was like, this is dumb. What is this?
When was the last time you played baseball? I guess when they asked me to play for the other team, maybe would have been a real turning point for me.
And then I wanted to be a professional gymnast.
Okay.
And I did that for a while. And then when the coach was like, you're not going to make it to the Olympics. Like, you're not going to go to the Olympics. He was like, you're too tall. There's a picture of me and it's like short.
You are
short.
Very tall and I was like, for gymnastics.
Yeah. And I was like 4 feet taller than everybody.
Yeah. So you were tall early. Like I was
very tall. And
I always stood. Yeah. Someone teased me about it the other day because I was like, let's get a picture. And I go into the middle back like it's in my jeans because that's constantly where I had
I
to stand in classes.
Good. Do a lean over, quirky Mel from the side. Like, here we are.
Immediately, like, oh, this is the thing I have to do to not, you know, I know where I belong. I have to do this to be in the picture and not like stand in front of people and all that.
I was tall forever. I really wanted to be the best at something. I really wanted to be the best athlete.
Did you read like the Guinness Book of World Records and stuff? Did you
I should have, like, just to try to do something.
Yeah.
And then when I realized. And then I was always into.
But it is interesting
acting.
That you chose. I mean, you've named two things. Like you said, you wanted to be the best at something, but it's not like you, unless, correct me if I'm wrong, you also wanted to be the best at girls basketball.
Yeah.
In which case, it's already for girls.
Yes.
It's already for tall people. Do you know what I mean? You wanted to be the best at something, but you were also like, I want to play baseball or I want to be a gymnast.
And two things
against
type.
So to speak.
So it was hard. And then after that, it was pretty much acting. Like it was always. that was always, I was in an acting class. I tried to get my mom to take me to an agent. They were very much like, you can't be an actor until you're 18.
That's how my parents were too. They were like, you can just play in school all you want, but you're not going to like,
you're not doing it for real. Yeah. And I met my first agent when I was like 13 or 14.
And so was there, and so this would have been out of Atlanta. Like it was in Atlanta.
So we drove to Atlanta and I met this agent and she was basically like, you're too ugly right now. I had braces and zits and like I was like what was it, Diary of the Teenage whatever, I was like, you know, but I was like, but in me, and that was, so that was the last time I ever did anything like that until I went to acting school.
When you had that, I wouldn't have ever taken the chances that you would have, that you were taking. Like I was not the person. Yeah. I was not the person who was like, I would have loved to have thought of myself as that. Like if I had read the story of you in a, in a young person's book, if I read your Beverly Cleary book, I probably would have been like, that is me. And then they would have been like, yeah, then Janet, go out and do something no one wants you to do. I would have been like, oh no, 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 no. That will hurt my feelings. I'll get crushed. Crushed.
Oh yeah. There was a lot of that. I remember auditioning for Frickin' Frack, in like the church play. And I went to this woman's house and I auditioned and then I found out later I didn't get it. And I just remember running upstairs and sobbing forever. And I was like, how am I going to go on? I'm not Frick or Frack. Sure. I'm not. And now I'm like, well, welcome. You've been doing it for since then. You've just been having that moment over and over again.
Well, that's a weird self-confidence thing that I think we can all relate to, whether or not it has anything to do with performance. But anything like that where, you know, I feel like this is probably true for you too, based on what I'm hearing. Although, you took more chances than I did. But
where
I
are
think
you from?
From Arizona.
Oh, great.
And so Tucson and Phoenix are certainly smaller than Atlanta, but there's the same sort of like, how much acting are you going to do out of this place anyway? Yeah. And there was definitely like a Nickelodeon show that shot there when I was the right age to be on it. And I went to school with someone who was on it. And I'm sure he would be the first to say now, although I don't keep in touch with him, that he was terrible on it because he was never, I'm sure he would.
Yeah.
As an adult. Back then he thought he was hot shit.
Yeah.
As I would have too.
Yeah.
But, and this actually feeds right into what I was saying, is that it's so hard when, and I just know you can, guys can all relate to this, when you do feel you're great at something or that you're good, or you feel like you've got a sense of self that is like, I'm pretty sure I'm good at this, but then you don't get it. And then someone else that you think you're better than talent wise or skill wise or whatever gets it. So I remember, it's the capacity we all have to both feel horribly offended and that it was an injustice, but also that feeling of like, maybe I'm shit. And those two things can coexist together in those moments where I would feel like, I would feel dreadful that I didn't get something, but I was never 100%, and maybe you were, and I admire this if it's true. Half of me was like, I know I deserve that. But the other half of me was like, what if I only think I deserve that and everyone else sees that I'm shit? And those are two really hard things. If I thought I was shit, I would just never take the chance or I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't work out. Or if I thought it was great and I was just confident, then when I didn't get it, I'd be like, it's not me. I was great.
Yeah.
You know, next time I'll get it. But that awkward in between where you're willing to take the chance, but then you're so shattered when it doesn't work out that it just gets harder and harder each time to believe in yourself is like a thing I wish I could like tenderly help kids with, because I think it really affects how you deal with the rest of your life, you know?
Well, for me, like I kind of needed, I think I was bad.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I think I was bad to a certain extent. I think there was something there.
Yeah.
I believe that for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because I'm contrary, but the rejection always really fueled me.
God, it doesn't, so great,
it doesn't
though.
So much now. It doesn't at all now.
Yeah.
Now we've been fueled. We've made it a certain, great. But it really fueled me of like, well, how can I really do it? How can I just prove
so
this
great.
Different? And because like I didn't get into NYU and I was like, what? Well, my audition wasn't that great. You know what I mean? And so I had to be better for the next one to go to the next thing.
Yeah.
And
I think that's so great.
And so I got better. The acting school I went to, they didn't really think I was that good. You know what I mean? So I was like, like the parts I got, I could tell where they put me. Mm-hmm. So I've always sort of been put to the side of like, you know, whatever. And so I always needed to fight to hone, to find my thing, which it brought me to, brought me to comedy, which I hadn't been in. You know, I was like, I really wanted to be a serious actor. It doesn't mean I'm not going to do that. But like, I think the rejection sort of pushed me in the way I needed to go.
Uh-huh.
And now I do have that sort of like, sometimes I have the what if you're shit? Because mine's now different. It's weird. Sometimes mine is don't try. Like, you got it. And then don't care about this. This is stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
This is so stupid. We've done this. Guess what? You did it. It's stupid. You're not going to get it. Yeah. Don't waste your energy.
Yeah.
And then I go in and I don't care and I don't whatever. And then I don't get it. And then I cry and I'm like, wait a minute. What was I crying about? You can't do that.
I know. But that's a thing that happens. And again, I think the sort of microcosm of what we do is just this sort of, you know, when you blow it out and look at it from far away, it's mm-hmm. what we're all going through,
yeah.
no matter where we are, no matter where we live. Which is to say, your version of it could be like, you know, the most generic sense of being out of a job, right? We're always out of a job.
Yeah, you're always
but
out of a job.
If you're a person who kind of has a career path and you frequently are employed and then it's a, you know, an employment that you have for a few years and then you lose that job, we can all relate, or relationships, to where you want everyone to want you.
Yeah.
And you want to make the choice.
Yeah.
And that's what we all want. We all want five jobs to say, we're fighting over you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to choose which job feels right to you, opposed to like, well, I know that I said I wanted to be an architect, but this company that sells pipes is like kind of adjacent to what I do. And it's the only job that's even considering me right now.
Yeah.
I don't really want this. But then when they say, you know what, we don't really think it's a great fit, Mel, then it feels like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
There's someone who's better suited for this than me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like
it's a mind fuck. Yeah. It's a mind fuck. And it's part of me that's like also got into this place now, which is a great place to be, which I have not been. I think I've spent the past like 10 years just being angry. Like the rejection fueled me to a certain sense. And then it just turned into like jealousy, envy, anger. No. Just
right,
no.
Right.
And now I'm much...
Don't you think that's part of getting older too, which is the great part about it, is like,
yes.
At a certain point you're just like,
okay,
I don't want to feel like this.
No,
and I can actually choose not to feel like this,
yes.
Instead of feeling like it's all being imposed on me all the time. Like,
oh yeah,
that's
I walked around like... I mean, I still do, because like I'm self-supporting in a sense, but not from let's say the things that I want to be all the time.
Right.
You know, from acting or writing or stand up, like I go out, I'm repped, I do things like that, but it's not where I thought I would be.
Right.
But what's great is I'm not as angry as I was, so I don't really care.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So yeah. I'm like, who cares? Like I have much more like faith now in terms of like it'll work out. Whatever it is,
yeah.
Do I want to live angry, or do I just want to like?
Couldn't agree more. And I think the number one thing that is the most poisonous about, again, for any of us, mm-hmm. and certainly for us here, because what we do is absurd.
Yeah,
absurd. Is making that comparison where you look at other people's lives and they look at yours.
Oh, and people do it about relationships,
you know,
like,
I mean?
Oh, well, you're
constantly.
Married, or I'm single,
oh,
or I'm
so
this,
happy,
or you have
kids, and yeah,
Instagram does it, Facebook does it,
right?
You see these things. I mean, there's sometimes where I'm like, I can see myself looking at something, get angry, and then my days change just from looking at something online.
Right.
And I'm like, cool. So you maybe skip that step.
Right. Right.
Maybe skip
absolutely.
The going online just for today.
Absolutely.
Because like, we're writing our own, I'm writing my own story. I don't actually know what's going on in their lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's something that is a constant. It's like you're faced
with
that
all
the
time
up. Here. No, not at all.
I didn't. If people were doing things, they just did them.
Right.
And I'd see you later.
Yeah.
Like I'd see you. Like I'd see you the next time I see you.
Yeah.
And you'd have to be a real shitty person to be like, well, I was hanging out with Aaron.
I know. I'm terrible at looking at that stuff. Probably for the better in general.
Yeah.
But like, it is funny when the expectation is that is how you're going to get information about someone. So
yes.
I will, you know, email someone and be like, I haven't talked to you in so long. How are you? And then I'll get a reply that's like, well, as you know, I had a baby.
You're
and
like,
I'm like,
what?
As I know, what are you talking about? And they're like, we're Facebook friends.
Oh.
And I say, oh, no.
Yep.
I don't know anything about anyone on Facebook.
Yeah, you can't.
If someone tags me in something, there's a 30% chance I'll even see it. And if someone asks me to post something I'm doing
to promote it on Facebook, I will go there, post that thing, mm-hmm. and not look at anything. Like, I will not check my messages. Out. I will not. The only Facebook page I'm on is the JV Club, which, so those of you who listen to the podcast know I'm the best at being in touch with someone via that. Mm-hmm. Yet, again, will never go to my personal page, will never look at someone else's status. Yeah. And so, yeah, I don't know. Like, I didn't know this. I had a friend who was gravely ill, and I had no idea.
Oh, wow.
Because everyone else apparently knew about it and figured I would know too. So I didn't know until she got better. I got an email from her that was like, I'm feeling just, you know, FYI, thank you so much for the outreach. I'm feeling way better. And I immediately wrote like someone else who was on that thread and said, you have to tell me what's going on.
Oh God.
And she was like, oh my, I was like, I feel horrible.
Yeah. It is,
you know,
I mean, I guess
but
it's true.
I just
yeah.
didn't, how would I
know? How would you know? Yeah. Because we don't, because. Yeah, it's so weird that you're like, well, I'm going to post on Facebook. That's telling people. And it's like, well, is it?
Yeah. But it's, and it's weird
it is.
Because it's like,
it is, and
if,
it isn't.
If there's like an implied consent by being on Facebook, like if I just never was on it, maybe, you know, if I didn't have a presence on there at all.
Then people would know.
People
like I have
know,
a friend who's
I have to email because she's not on Facebook.
Yeah, because my dad's not on it. My friend's not on it. So I know like those people I have to like email or text or call or send them. Because they're not seeing it.
Do you listen to This American Life? Because Ira was talking about a really funny component of this, which was that he was talking to two teenage girls, like his nieces or someone, her friend, about the amount of time per day they socially feel completely obligated to be liking people's Instagram, to be liking their posts, to be replying to their posts, and
how
that they have a hierarchy. It's like their whole day.
Mm.
The hierarchy of sort of, well, my best friends, if I post a picture of myself, I have to see them all weigh in and say it's really cute, or I'll know I have to take it down because it's not cute enough. Like, oh my God, that's your job. You have a job. You're a teenage girl with a job, and your job is checking Facebook.
I can't imagine. I cannot imagine high school with Facebook. I cannot imagine.
I wouldn't have gotten anything done.
Mm-mm.
God bless everybody out there.
I had a pager.
Did you have a pager?
I had a pager.
I can't imagine.
Which is so, I mean, now that I think about it, like how pointless is that? You're just going to ding me with your number and I'm just going to call you.
Right.
You
should
just call. You just call where.
But that's a big deal. Like having a pager was a big deal.
Yeah. Oh, I loved having a pager. It was so fun.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have five.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
What's
so many.
Everybody else like?
Are they my brother's older. He's, oh my gosh. He's 35. He's a nurse. He's like, he's like into the wild. He's much more like, not that anymore, but he was very much like that.
Yeah.
I have a younger sister who's 27. Like him and her are very similar. They're very like earth friendly. Like how are they going to change the world in terms of like environment and, which is great.
Yeah.
And then I have three younger sisters or brothers and sisters, 16, 14 and 12.
All from the same family or did you?
All the same dad. All different moms.
Gotcha.
All six of us.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did I not?
My brother and I have the same mom, and then my sister Michelle has a different mom, and the younger three have a different mom.
How was he married to?
He was married to my mom. He was married to the younger. He wasn't to the middle.
Got it.
Just spreading the seed.
Uh-huh.
Which great is
was
we're
that
all like close.
Family drama or no?
You know, not really. I mean, because it's just like, because now we're all like kind of close. We're the kids. We get it. It's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, the teenagers, like, they're more just like uncomfortable because like they're teenagers. Do you know what I mean? So they're just uncomfortable with life.
Uh-huh.
But it's fine. Like, we don't really care because he's divorced from the last one. So it's kind of like we're like the band that keeps my dad together. You know what I mean? Like we go over here and it's like, whatever. It's a lot, but it's fine.
Do you have, are any of them people that, you know, some people have siblings that they're sort of are their best friend and they just, that's who you kind of turn to, or do you more have like you have your friends for that and,
friends.
You love your family?
Yeah. They're more family. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I call them and we talk and I love being with them, but
and if something was going on, you might not necessarily call.
Like if something was going on with Nick, I wouldn't like call my brother.
Right.
But I would call and like, you know, but I think that could change because we used to not talk at all.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I think it's weird with siblings. Like it can be weird. Like some people. Yeah. I don't know what it is. Do you have siblings?
Mm-mm. I'm an only child. So I'm always extra interested. In
it's weird. I mean, I used to hate my brother, my older brother. Fucking hated him.
Yeah.
Couldn't stand to hear his voice.
That's not uncommon.
I was like, he'd speak and I would already yelling. I was like, no less.
It's
I
so
can't.
Crazy how family can push those buttons in ways that nobody else
can. I mean, and he still can. I'm just like more apt to have compassion and be like, okay, how can we like get through this? And and he's changed and I've changed. But now, we're like close. I've also noticed like I'm kind of the odd man out. I think I will always be. Mm-hmm. I'm the only one not in Georgia. Mm-hmm. I'm the only one not there.
That immediately can change things just by,
I moved away at 18. I'm not at home. Like, so I've missed all the funerals. I've missed, you know what I mean? It's just like,
that's how I feel about my mom's side of the family. Yeah. They have better relationships with one another. They see each other more. I've missed all the funerals. For my reasoning has almost always consistently been, I've literally been doing a job I cannot get out of, mm-hmm. which feels
terrible,
super gross.
Yeah.
Or more commonly, not that there have been that many funerals, I was in a period in my life where I would have had a massive panic attack going to the funeral of one particular grandparent. Mm-hmm. I just would have lost. Like, I was too fragile. I was just too fragile.
Yeah.
But I think of myself in my head, I wonder, am I the cousin that everyone else is like,
I'm the
well,
cousin.
There's Janet. Yeah. But I just don't know if they even give a shit. Like, I don't think, I mean, and I don't know, some of them listen to the podcast, some don't. But I feel like I should have developed stronger relationships with all of them by now, if that was going to happen. And some of them are Mormon and some of them aren't. And so I have to stop kind of putting them into the category of like, well, I'm the only one who's not Mormon. Because that's not even true. Most of them are. Some of them are, but it's just like we were all scattered so far apart from one another that, but I do believe that some of them have a closeness that I could not participate less in whether I wanted to or not.
Yeah, it's interesting because you can just see it.
Yeah.
You can just see that they're close. Now, I have started to try more.
Yeah.
I have started to put myself out there more. I have started to be like a little bit more active in that the past few years, like trying to keep us all together, trying to make sure we do things. But yeah, am I kind of the odd man? Absolutely, I'm the odd man out. Yeah. But I'm kind of okay with that. I'm kind of like, well, as long as I'm here, that's fine. You guys can be closer.
Yeah.
I don't have to be everyone's best friend.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting, it's weird. It's like a weird, it's hard with family.
Let me ask you this, and listen, I don't know why we're not hanging out every day because it's already been like an hour and I completely lost track of anything I would or should be asking you. But let me ask this before I get into this MASH game, which is because I do feel I have a pretty decent sense of you as a teen, but the stuff that you were sort of like, well, I wanted to do it, and so I just tried to do it. Mm-hmm. How does that factor in with the fact that you said that you hadn't dated anyone or anything? Like, did you want to? Did you try? Were you like, well, I don't, you know what I'm saying? Did you have that version of the crush where you were like, it's like trying out for the boys' baseball team? Like, well, I have a crush on him. I'm going to go for it. Or were you more shy about that?
It was a little bit of both. I wasn't allowed to date.
Okay.
Because my family, my mother was very Catholic, and I just was not allowed to date. I don't think I was allowed to kiss a boy. And if I were to date, they would have to meet my parents first. Like, so I was like, well, fuck, I'm not. What? Yeah. But also at the same time, when I was in eighth grade, I really remember this quite clearly. I asked every boy out and they all said no. And they all said no. Because it was one of those things like back in the day, did you guys do this where you like call and be like, will you be my boyfriend?
Will you be my girlfriend? Believe we would say, will you go with me?
Yeah, will you go with me? And they go, yeah. And then like the next day at school, like you might hold hands.
Yeah.
And then like that was probably the extent of it, except for the one girl who got pregnant. But like, I don't know. I still didn't understand how that happened. And I just remember I asked out everyone and every night I got no, 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 no. And I just remember being like, man.
But see, I probably would have asked. I mean, I've been rejected plenty in all forms.
Yeah.
But at that point, I would probably have asked one and I would have been so scared and sad after one that I would have been like, everyone else is going to say no too. The fact that you were like, fuck it. I'm going to call this guy now
because
too.
I think that's so cool. Well, you have your friends who were like, he likes you.
Right.
You know, I was getting misfed some information and I was like, yeah, he likes me. And then I'd call. And then I definitely was the person where like being mean to somebody meant you liked them. Like I did some not nice things also to boys.
Oh yeah.
So then by the time I got to high school, things got really fucked up for me.
Oh no.
And then I got into drugs. But like I was very, let's see. I was obsessed with like one guy for like all of high school. I remember he gave me a hug and I like sobbed. Like I was like, oh my God. So I was like not versed in interaction with men at all.
Yeah.
And then if I did, like, there was this, oh man, I've told this story in my stand up. It's so bad. So there was this one guy I liked. He had a shaved head. He looked kind of sick. Mm-hmm. And, so I called him AIDS boy, and that was his nickname.
Jesus Christ.
So everyone called him AIDS boy. But I liked him. And I was like, why are we going out? Like, I don't understand. Like, I didn't, like, if I punched a guy, like, I was also that person. Like, I punched you. Like, let's, this means I like you. Like, I didn't, which I still, my husband's like, Les, calm down. Like,
right.
It was very like that.
I mean, that feels, again, kind of like, I feel like I had some behavior like that, and I was made aware early on, in terms of a gender gap, that that's what boys did to girls. Mm. But girls didn't do that to boys.
Oh, I did not learn
and
that.
And no boy ever told a boy he liked him, and no girl ever told a girl she liked her. So there was never, I'm not being reductive in the sense that I'm like, and gay people weren't included. Mm-hmm. They were not included because no one wanted to talk about being gay. Mm. But having said that, I just feel like I remember pretty early, because I have a scar on my chin from chasing Duncan Campbell in first grade, trying to kiss him and sliding across the concrete. So I was definitely like, kind of, and it was like mean, it was like aggressive, you know what I mean? It wasn't like, oh, he's so cute. It was like, I'm gonna get you.
That's how I was.
And I think that, like, pretty early on, in terms of being fed information by your friends, I feel like it was like shut down early on. It was like, no, I can be mean to you and that means he likes you,
but that's it,
but you can't do that to other, you know.
Oh yeah, I wish somebody had told me that. I would have been, I probably would have had a lot more success.
Or AIDS boy.
So I didn't get later. It stuck with me so hardcore. I felt so bad about it. And then he was like, I don't even remember that. And I was like, well, we called you that all high school, but okay. And so I didn't, you know, so I did, I'm trying to think what happened in high school. So I don't think I don't even think I ever, I might have kissed one person ever. Like, I had no, during high school, it was sort of just like, you don't date. It doesn't happen for you. You can like people, but that, like, you know, I just sort of, it wasn't until I was in New York and I was on my own. And also there was like a religious component to it, which was also very confusing, which was like,
well, yeah, because if you got into drugs, then there was there's some different stuff happening with like what you're honoring, what behavior you're honoring and what behavior you're not honoring.
Yeah.
But that's
also
interesting to me too, is that, I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of people who say they had your experience, but for me, the people that I was friends with who were doing drugs, if they had never been hooking up with someone before, they certainly were once drugs got into it, because everybody was just kind of like doing whatever. Yeah,
not so much with me.
Yeah,
I mean, once or twice, but it was just like a fluke,
right?
And usually, like for me, it was like, if, because I couldn't date and I couldn't hook up with people, well, then I'm just gonna like drink and do drugs.
Got it.
Because I can do that, and I'm allowed to do that in my head or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I can do that, but I can't do this thing. Mm-hmm. And then when I got to New York, I was like, well, I need to, I don't know what, I mean, I just did not, I had no idea. I wasn't really, because my mom and my parents, more my mom, like, they didn't believe in talking about sex. You know what I mean? So there was just no dialogue.
Yeah.
There's no sex before marriage. Sex only creates a kid.
Right.
That's it. And I was like, what? So I didn't, I legitimately didn't know that women masturbated until I was 26.
Wow.
I didn't know. You didn't talk about that. What are you talking about? Like, I had no concept of how anything happened. I learned through like accident. Uh-huh. Do you know what I mean? Just what? Yeah. Oh, is this what's happening?
Yeah.
How do you do this?
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to be that. Because I also felt too old to ask people.
God, of course.
Like to ask my friends.
That place where you feel like you've passed some sort of invisible border.
I asked a friend once and I was so embarrassed. I was like, how do you give a blowjob?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah.
And she had to like show, like she showed me, and I was like, but I still don't understand, why are they calling it blow?
Yeah,
what am
sure.
I doing? Like, but I was like, wait, I was too old to be even asking that.
Right, right.
So then I just wouldn't do it because I was too nervous. I was like, you can't do it.
You are not the only person who, because
I was like,
what
do you do?
Yeah.
Like, how do you have sex? What do you
do? I don't remember being told that either.
How do you
learn? I still don't know. No. Yeah. I know. I don't know. I mean, it's like, it's a great question.
Gosh, they should really teach that stuff. Like, just so you don't feel so stupid. I mean, maybe they shouldn't, but like some sort of dialogue about, there'd probably be less. I mean, because I probably was the only person who didn't get pregnant from abstaining. You know what I mean? Because they were like, how you don't have a kid, abstain.
Right.
And I was like, okay.
Right.
Like, until, and then once I was in New York, I was like, well, I have to figure this out.
Right.
But it was just so, men and sexual relation was such a confusing thing for me for so long. And then once I did have sex before marriage, I'd go to confession.
Oh, yeah.
And confess my sins for having sex. And now I'm like, well, I'm glad I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah. How far from the way that you felt about God and religion when you were in high school do you feel now, if you don't mind my asking?
I feel much better about it. I went through a lot of phases to like really believing, really being a devout Catholic and being confirmed and all that stuff to denouncing like Catholicism and being angry and also being very like God. I was a very like, everyone else has a God but me. Mm-hmm. I was very selective. Mm-hmm. And now I feel much more spiritual. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even say God. I would just say I've like done a lot of research. I looked at a lot of different religions.
Yeah.
And I feel a lot more taken care of. And I also feel like more comfortable talking about it. Yeah. I used to feel a lot of shame talking about religion.
Yeah.
And now I'm sort of like, yeah, I have a faith. I don't know exactly what it is. Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. You don't have totally to have a rule book that you're kind of checking off.
Yeah. I'm not going to church, but I'm not going to lie. Like going to a Catholic church makes me feel some sort of ease sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like it makes me feel calm, but I'm not like practicing that faith.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
So I do.
Just, sometimes it's just like, oh, this space feels nice. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try this.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I definitely had a good like 5 to 10 years of not having any kind of anything.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think that's really normal. I think that's not dissimilar. Well, I had to go to Mormon church, these guys know, until I graduated high school, because that's when my mom's authority over me going to church ended.
Yeah.
And then I never went back. I didn't believe when I was there I wanted to. I mean, I guess that's what the sort of like, you miss what you don't mm-hmm. miss. You sort of want what you don't want. Like, yeah. I guess I wish I believed that, but I don't.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like I was proud to be an unbeliever. I definitely was like, you know, these people seem to have this thing inside them that seems like lovely, and I don't have that. I feel like there was a period of time in which like I was never angry to the point where I was I denied something or denounced it. But I feel like I just had no interest in even thinking about it one way or the other for a good long time. And then at a certain point I started to, you know, kind of feel like I was more spiritual on some level. And I think that's a kind of series of transitions that I think happens for a lot of people, particularly ones who have been raised in certain types of religion.
Especially when it's like that strict, because mine was very strict. Like you have to get confirmed. You have to do this. We go to church every Sunday. My mom taught Sunday school. Like,
yeah,
that's just, those are the rules. Like my mom had her marriage to my father annulled in the eyes of the Catholic Church.
Hmm.
And they were married 18 years.
Wow. Yeah.
So I don't know how that happens, but it was like one of those things of like, you know, like it was just like, church was church. Yeah. Like my mom just sent me, but now I have like, I used to get angry about it, but like my mom sent me a rosary and a Bible recently. And I was like, oh, cool. She's just trying to share with me her stuff.
Definitely.
And
definitely.
Like, and that's, and I'm not more like, God, stop. Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm like, that just works for her.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. I definitely had that experience where I went to, and then I got to get into Smash Game. God bless us.
Okay.
God bless us.
I know.
I say,
we're
not
really
knowing
getting
what God bless even means. I had a very similar experience where I don't want to say I've probably denounced the Mormon church enough times on this podcast that someone's going to write and be like, I think you have denounced some things. But I certainly was like, I don't want them contacting me. I don't want them to know where I am. I don't want to go to church. I don't believe it. I have a lot of problems with that religion, blah, blah, blah. And then at a certain point a few years ago, all of a sudden I was like, you know what? When I go home, I'm going to go to church with my mom. Not because I need to go, but because I think it'll make her feel really good if I do.
Yeah.
And what do I care? Like, why was I so like, do not take an hour of my day. Do not take 2 hours. Do not take 3 hours. Where I was like, oh, I can just go. It doesn't have to mean anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I mean, what it can mean is that I love that my mom derives joy out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I can go and sort of be nostalgic or feel like I'm enjoying seeing other people's peace about this or faith or whatever. And instead of feeling like, you know, God forbid I ever go into a church.
It's weird when you like realize that you can set boundaries without having to be so harsh about the boundary. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like I can just set this boundary and like I don't have to believe, but I can still be present for you.
Absolutely.
And that was like a weird, but that take, I mean, that just takes time.
Absolutely.
That just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause it's your mom. It's like the stuff that goes with that and how you were raised and like, So it just takes forever.
Yeah. Oh, it's so nice to get to that point, though. I agree with you.
It's just, man. Like, I think I was angry until last year. I think it's been like recent for me.
Good.
Like
I'm
it took a long time.
I'm glad I got you. Nabbed you. I nabbed you and you were in a good place. Okay. Here comes the smash game.
Great.
The first thing is going to be you can jump into any movie. Give me three movies that the worlds are real. It's not like you go in and you're Hermione, but you get to go in and be with us with characters and experience whatever it is about that world that is exciting to you. Three.
Babes in Toyland with Keanu Reeves and Drew Barrymore.
Great.
My Science Project.
What's My Science Project?
Oh, gotta see it. It's a terrible 80s movie that is the best.
All I can think of is Weird Science.
My Science Project is so much better.
Okay.
I loved that movie. And Roger Rabbit.
Great. Great, great, great. Okay. Next one is you. Let's do vacation home of three places, vacation home somewhere on planet Earth.
Prague. New York. That's not really a, that just sort of happened. I was like, I don't know. And England.
I like your choices because none of them are islands on the beach, which I always wish, again, speaking of envying someone else's desire, I'm always like, I feel like I get bored.
I never, I'm like, beach, we are on the beach. I never even go.
Yeah, I know. I never even do either. Okay, then let's do three. I feel like you might enjoy this. Three sort of eras or styles that for whatever practical reason right now, you can't like go out wearing a,
What
do you call them? A thing on your butt. What are those? Bustle.
Yes, yes.
Or, you know, you like unless you wanted to to really commit to always wearing like bespoke men's suits.
Yeah.
But in this environment, you can try that on with no physical discomfort from like some time in history. We're like, I kind of love those hunting outfits they wore.
Yeah.
You know, the 20s in England or whatever.
Well, definitely the 70s. I mean, right. I kind of already do it sometimes when I want to.
Great.
Like
what kind of style of the 70s?
Super hip. Super hippie.
Great.
Hippie. Flowy central.
Great.
Probably the 40s.
Great.
The 20s, I want to, but it looks terrible on me, so no.
All right. I fail to see how that could be true, but I
it's because their hem is down here.
Oh, that sort of drop waist. Yeah.
That looks good on real, real thin, teeny people.
Yeah,
anyone with any other kind of weight.
No, you're right.
It's unflattering.
You're right.
What other era? '40s, '70s. Well, I mean, I already did '90s. I lived it.
I mean, I feel like you need to go back.
'80s.
Great. Great. Okay, cool. Next one will be three people that are kind of like mentors that could be from any time or place, could be even from fiction, some character or person that, you could just call and be like, what do I do about this? You know, and maybe they want to hear from you and, you know,
and they like me.
They love you. Love you.
Pat Conroy.
Great.
Natalie Wood. And Jim Carrey.
Great. Okay. Next one. In this alternate universe mash world, three foods that in this world are not particularly good for you and you probably shouldn't have in perpetuity. Here, snap of a finger, right at your fingertips. Delicious, good for you.
Oh, great.
And could be as specific as like a very specific slice of pizza from a place in New York, or it could just be like brownies.
Pizza.
Great.
Any pizza.
Agreed.
Cereal.
Oh, God.
If I could eat it without getting the shits, I would do it. That's such a bummer for me.
Any cereal, huh? What's going on there? Could be the milk.
I have IBS.
Yeah.
So, and cereal triggers it.
Okay.
Cereal is it, and I used to eat it constantly.
Yeah.
So now I just no. Cereal, pizza, chips and dip.
Great, 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 great. Chips and D. Only have room to write the D. Chips and mm-hmm. D. Okay. All due respect to your wonderful husband. Mm-hmm. Alternate universe, sexy times, or ooh, husband, or kind great. Of companion. Three.
Oh, he knows this. Chris Hemsworth.
Great. Let's get him in there.
Oh, he's going to hate this one. The guy from Sherlock. What's his name?
Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yeah. Hates that guy.
He does?
He's British, so it's like also like it's a rival.
And he probably hates, yeah, that people like go so crazy.
He's over it. He's like, oh, come on. He's like, come on, give me a break. Or, oh, this is weird. Zac Efron.
Okay, great. Let's get him in there. Let's get him
get
in
that.
There.
I mean, he's 12, so it's weird, but I think it's whatever.
No, he's older if than I that. Didn't feel, if it didn't make me feel a little bit like a pity, I would say, what's his, that kid from About a Boy who has turned into Nicholas Holt.
Well, what does he look like
he's
now?
He's grown into like the sexiest young man you've ever seen in your
Nicholas
life.
Nicholas Holt, I'm going to Google him
after
this.
Oh, you know. But he doesn't really look like he used to. And because what's I loved been About on? A Boy, he was in the new Mad Max movie. He's in the X-Men as the young
beast. Oh, yes. Okay.
I mean, he's just darling. Yeah. And I feel weird because not only is he too young for me now, but also I think of him as the kid from About a Boy, which I loved.
Yeah.
And so now it really feels like this is complicated for me because I see the young boy in him, which is totally asexual to me, yet I want to smooch him. So it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah,
Great ones. Let's do... let's do three. I got to do it. Let's do three characters from like a famous play, like a Broadway type situation. Love male it. Or female, since I know that it you don't it
doesn't matter.
Be gender
I don't,
neutral.
Yep.
That you did get to play in this alternate universe.
That I did get to play in this alternate universe. Oh, man. In a play. Let's do...
Because I feel like that was my... like. I didn't have that much kind of gender bending tendency for like sports, but I definitely from a very young age was like, why can't I play Hamlet? Like I definitely was Shelley totally. Long and Outrageous Fortune. Like I'm going to be the first male Hamlet. Like
I love that. I love that. See, I was less so with that. I was more like, well, at least let me be the biggest part there is.
Right.
Whatever that might be. I
great.
Don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Let me think plays. Oh, I have wanted to be, what's that? Oh God. Glengarry Glen Ross.
Oh,
I mean, any of them.
Yeah. Let's, I'm just going to
I mean, any of them.
G-R. Hopefully I'll remember.
In this universe, I've always wanted to play Lady Macbeth.
Great. Great.
And, I'm Tennessee Williams. I'm trying to think. What do I want? We're Fool for Love. I don't know.
Oh yeah, I always got assigned Sam Shepard stuff when I was in college because my theater teacher would be like, "You're two in your head. You need to just be in something raw, savage."
That. Yeah, but it's like we get it. okay.
Did you want, what about like musicals, like when you're younger?
See,
you
I
like,
wish I could sing.
But in this world, you can.
Oh, I can? Yeah. Okay. Oh, I know what it is. Oklahoma.
Great. I'm assuming the biggest part in Oklahoma.
No. I know which one it is. I didn't get it when I auditioned for it in high school. And I really cried. Well, what was the one that was like, I'm just a girl who can't say no.
Okay.
I'm in a terrible fix.
I don't know. I don't know the play. I feel like I should, but I'm
so
just
stupid.
Putting that girl.
That girl for
You'll
sure.
What that is. And then final category is Let's do three things that you wish you could do again for the first time, which is to say you would do them over differently because they weren't great, or it's such a great experience that you wish you could do it again and have the excitement of like the thrill of the unknown. It could, then that could apply to like a great movie that you're like, God, I wish I'd never seen that because I'd love to see it for the first time again. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. My initial thought was have sex again for the first time. I was drunk, so I didn't. It really didn't give it a lot of oomph.
It's a great choice.
When I first arrived in New York in the cab, that was really exciting. And my first like walking, I was by myself. I was 18.
Yeah, I remember. I felt that way, like driving in the cab.
It was
on
like
the way
what?
To New York too. Like, I can't believe it took me this long to come here. And yes. It did feel like
it was so.
I'm in the movies.
Yeah, it felt like. And I pulled up, and I was living in the Salvation Army with. It felt like everything was magic.
Yeah,
and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And probably getting married.
Those are some really good big life things. I love.
Yeah.
I would have been like, I wish I could see Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Well,
the first
I
time.
Almost said the Goonies, but I was like, oh, love that movie.
That would be a good movie to jump into as well.
Oh, yeah. It would
okay.
Be.
Tell me when to stop.
Okay. Stop.
Okay. I'm going to pause this, do some calculations.
Do those calculations.
Come back with your 100% guaranteed MASH future. I feel very good about what has happened in the Smash game.
I can't wait.
So, first of all, I'm going to let you know that you do have a shack in New York as your vacation home. I apologize, but real estate is very expensive
that makes
in New York.
More sense.
And by the way, a shack in New York is still like $1 million.
It's doing great. It's a tiny house.
It's
I'll call
a, tiny,
it a tiny house.
Adorable house.
Great.
People will still walk in and be like, you have so much space.
Yes,
so you're
they
fine.
Will.
So much space for your endless supply of chips and dip.
Oh, yes.
You know what? You don't want to get, you don't need anything fussy when you're in your darling shack.
I'm on the go.
You're fine. You, by the way, your wardrobe, somehow it's like very, there's a magical situation where you still have a huge closet full of flowy, wonderful hippie stuff.
Oh, that feels great. Yes.
I love how this is shaping up. You did not wear any of those clothes, however, I don't think in Glengarry Glen Ross on Broadway, but you definitely killed it.
I'm killing it.
Like,
I'm killing
he's
it.
Amazing. And yep. I mean, he, because you played a man's role.
Yep.
Or you
nailed
converted
it.
Into a woman's role. I don't know. Yeah. I like both.
The fact
like,
that
I'm just as interested in portraying a man as I am in a character switching over and being a woman. To me,
they're both
I'm sure
great.
One of them is more PC,
has
but
there been
I don't really care.
Glengarry Glen Ross?
I don't know. I think that's a great question.
I don't think there is. I mean, I'm sure
David
like
Mamet's probably like, I wrote it for men. It should be for men. Like,
and that
what
is
I say
it.
Goes. Yeah.
You cannot say she.
Oh, boy. You get to lose your virginity all over again.
All right.
I'm going to tell you who with.
Yes.
Benedict Cumberbatch. So you can just rub your
husband's
like, nose in it.
Yeah.
And if you feel like you're not getting the support you need from your actual husband, you can always talk about how adorable and in love you are with Benedict Cumberbatch with Pat Conroy.
Oh, can't wait.
Your BFF.
Yep.
And then if you just need to get away from all of this, although I don't see why you would because you've this marvelous, marvelous future, feel free to also just jump into my science project whenever you want. Get it all over you.
Yes.
Live in it.
I
live
love
in
that.
It.
That's the best MASH game I've ever played.
That makes me happy to hear.
I used
want
to
be a
love
to
playing
happiness.
MASH.
Well, you nailed it.
I loved it.
It shows. You're really good at it.
Yeah.
Mel, thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thanks for having
Will
me.
Will you please tell everyone where they can follow you and so forth?
Yeah. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Mel M. Stevens with a PH. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Yeah, guys, get on it. It's
that's
so easy and simple. You have no excuse not to.
Yeah.
And I will talk to you next time on the podcast. As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.